Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And it's lovely to welcome you all here on such a lovely day. So I've got a few little random notices. I'll start with, I'll start with one from Mary, Ambrose's wife. So apparently the funeral went really well, as funerals go. Apparently it was really lovely and really quite packed out. So Mary had a message and she said she would like to thank everyone for your calls, cards, prayers and kindness to Ambrose and herself. Ambrose really enjoyed his visits to the coffee mornings. And Mary says that she feels uplifted by your continuous care, support and friendship towards herself and Ambrose. Thank you and God bless you all, Mary. Okay, and so this morning I'd like to welcome Ray. Oh yeah. Hello, Ray. Ray's coming to do the talk this morning, and he's from Cape and Ray, so you three probably know who he is. And this evening at 6 o'clock, it's soup and cake as usual, and it's Alpha.
Let's just be quiet for a moment before we pray. We've come to meet together, yes, that's certainly the case. But even more importantly, we've come to meet with the risen Lord Jesus. And he is here by his Spirit this morning with us. Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus for us so that we could be saved from our sins and brought into your kingdom. We thank you also, Father, that you sent your Holy Spirit on that day 2,000 years nearly ago, a day which we remember today. Father, thank you that you give us your Holy Spirit when we turn to you and accept you as the ruler of our lives. Father, we thank you that you speak to us through your Holy Spirit. We would ask that you would speak to us this morning, because we want to learn more about you, know you better, become more like Jesus, and bring you glory. In his name, amen. Now I'm going to do something slightly different today, and that is we're going to have our two readings in close succession. The first of them is in Zephaniah, perhaps not one of the easier books to find, but you can find it on page 945. Zephaniah chapter 1, beginning at verse 14, page 945. The great day of the Lord is near, near and coming quickly. Listen, the cry on the day of the Lord will be bitter, the shouting of the warrior there. That day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of trouble and ruin, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness, a day of trumpet and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the corner towers. It will bring distress on the people, and they will walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood will be poured out like dust and their entrails like filth. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to save them on the day of the Lord's wrath. In the fire of his jealousy, the whole world will be consumed, for he will make a sudden end of all who live in the earth. Gather together. Gather together, O shameful nation, before the appointed time arrives and that day sweeps on like chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord comes upon you, before the day of the Lord's wrath comes upon you. Seek the Lord, all you humble of the land, you who do what he commands. Seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you will be sheltered on the day of the Lord's anger. This is the word of the Lord. And Tom is now going to come and bring us the second reading, which is from 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter 3 on page 1223.
The reading from 2 Peter chapter 3. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Saviour through your apostles. Above all, you must understand that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming?" he promised. Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen.
Ray, I'll hand over to you.
Good morning to you all. It's great to see this group swelling every time I come. It's very, very encouraging. So thank you for allowing me to come again and to share God's word with you. When we look back in history, according to what the Bible tells us, we see in the past there were two times of great judgment on the earth. Now, God has been judging nations, and even as you read through like Judges and Chronicles and Kings, you see him judging his own nation. But there's been two times when there's been very severe judgment on the whole earth. Of course, the first one was what we read about in Peter, was when the earth was destroyed by a flood. It tells us way back in the early chapters of Genesis, God looked down and he seen the thoughts and the inclinations of man's heart was only evil continually. And he was so grieved he had made man and he had to destroy the earth. A great judgment, a mighty judgment. And Peter tells us that people deliberately forget about this. But the Bible has a record of what happened in the past. And out of that great judgment, only 8 people were delivered. This wasn't a sudden judgment, because it says that while Noah was building the ark, he preached righteousness. And so people had opportunity. There was room on the ark for people to come onto. But it tells us that only 8 people were saved. And there was this great judgment where man and animal perished in a great flood. Now, another judgment came, and it affects every man and woman today, because 2,000 years ago, God himself was put on the cross. And the sins of all the people of the whole earth were placed on him. The judgment of God on sin of man. That was an awesome judgment. That the perfect Son of God should become sin for you and me. And God placed the punishment for our sin upon him. It tells us in the Gospels, when the death of Jesus took place, it says there was a great earthquake, there was darkness over the earth in the middle of the day for 3 hours. It tells us that curtain ripped from top to bottom in the temple. And the centurion who was there with his soldiers guarding Jesus, it says they were terrified. And they exclaimed, "Surely this was the Son of God." So two great judgments. One on the whole world, on man. The other one on the Son of God, for the sin of the whole world. But then the Bible tells us of another day coming, of a great judgment day coming, that we've read here of Zephaniah and Peter. The name most commonly given to this is called the Day of the Lord. This little phrase, Day of the Lord, occurs 24 times in the Bible, both in the New and Old Testament. But it's not the only name given for this time. Phrases are words like that day, in that day, on the day, at that day, this day, the great day, at the last day, in that day, a single day, a unique day, or a great day. So all these are different terms that talks about this coming day of judgment on the whole earth. So this morning we're going to very briefly look at what is the Day of the Lord. And, you know, when we read that passage in Zephaniah, it's a pretty dreadful passage. And that is only one of a number of passages in the Old Testament that talks about this dreadful Day of the Lord coming. A day of great judgment when the earth will not be judged by water, but will be judged by fire. Not only the earth, but the heavens also will be burnt up. And so the Bible would warn us of this day coming, but also it would comfort those who believe that we look forward to this day because it will bring the Lord Jesus and it will bring deliverance for those who believe in him. So it's a bittersweet day, depending on which side you're on with God. But it's a very, very important day. And Peter would actually encourage us to consider this day. And by considering this day, it should encourage us in our faith. So just going back briefly to this passage in Peter. Peter says in chapter 3 and verse 1 of 2 Peter, "This is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking." How's the King James? Anyone got a King James here? I think it says, yeah, let's hear it. Can you read it up first for us? 2 Peter 3, verse 1. Nice and loud. Yeah.
2 Peter 3, verse 1. Beloved, I now write you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder.
That's it, thank you. So he's wanting through the scriptures to remind us of these events, that it will stimulate us in our walk as a Christian, as a believer. And he goes on to say in verse 2, I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. So he's appealing here to two witnesses. He's appealing to the prophets, and he's appealing to the words of the apostles who have walked with Jesus and who have been given the authority on which the church is built. So Peter is really keen that we know what the prophets have said. He says, these are words spoken in the past by the holy prophets, prophets chosen by God to speak his word. Back in chapter 1 of 2 Peter, we will read this in verse 19. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. So he's saying about these prophets, they're like a light shining in a dark place, and we would do well to pay attention to them. So Peter is quite, you know, keen that we would, you know, be familiar with the words of the prophets. And probably one of the tragedies of the church today is that the books of the prophets are almost like closed books. We don't go there very much. Or if we do go there, we go for maybe a spiritual application rather than taking a literal meaning of what they're talking about for the future. But Peter talks about these prophets as they have something to say to us today. Let me take you back to almost Pentecost. In the book of Acts, chapter 3, the church has just begun, and shortly after, Peter and John have gone up to the temple at the time of prayer, and they meet this crippled man sitting at the front of the temple. And you probably know the story that Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to you. And the man was healed. And this caused a great excitement among the crowd, and they all came, and Peter starts to preach to them. And then in verse 18 of chapter 3 of Acts, it says to the people, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Notice this, verse 21. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through the holy prophets. Yeah. So Jesus at the moment is in heaven. He's waiting there until all that the prophets foretold will be fulfilled. Now there's some in the church today that teach that when Jesus came and died and rose again, he fulfilled all the prophets. And so any literal prophecy back there now is only applied spiritually. But Peter would say here, no, Jesus must remain in heaven until all that the prophets foretold will come to pass. And we read part of that in Zephaniah today, but this great day of the Lord coming, a dreadful day, and all those things that are associated with it. And many of the prophets speak about this day, the day of the Lord. I did about 4 lectures on the day of the Lord at Cavenrae, 45-minute lectures, and that didn't exhaust it by any means. We can speak a lot about the day of the Lord. There's so much in Scripture about it. But also, too, just looking at Peter's life, sometimes we look at Peter and think, oh, just an ignorant fisherman, you know, from Galilee. But if you go back to John chapter 2, I think it is, John chapter 1, during the time of John the Baptist, when he was preaching in the wilderness of Judea, preaching repentance, we find that a number of men had come down from Galilee. They were searching for the Messiah, and among those men was Peter. And it tells us here in verse 38, turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" And they said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." Then he brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John, who will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. So here we have these fishermen from Galilee. They're down listening to John the Baptist because they're searching for the Messiah. Why were they searching for the Messiah? Okay, we'll go to verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." So Peter was very familiar with the prophets. And because of what he had read in the law of Moses and in the prophets, he was down listening to John the Baptist, searching for the Messiah. So Peter, as one of the apostles, would say to us today, hey, pay attention to the prophets. Because Jesus will not return until what they have spoken is fulfilled. And so we need to pay attention because there are light shining in a dark place. So open up these books of the prophets and learn from them what they're saying into our present age, our present time. We will come back a little bit to Paul, because he talks about the apostles in here, what they know about the future. And Paul has a lot of information about the day of the Lord in the book of Thessalonians, but we'll come back to that. Let's just go to Zephaniah again. Just as a general thing, I would say that we could look at this day of the Lord in three different ways and how it applies. We can look at how it applies to the world, to the nations. We can look at how it applies to the Jewish people, and we can look at how it applies to the church. It applies to us in different ways. And here in Zephaniah, it seems to be speaking to the nations and to the Jewish people. But first of all, just at the beginning of chapter 1, let's read these few verses. "The word of the Lord came to Zephaniah, son of Cushi, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, during the reign of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah." So right away we see that he's prophesying during a good time. King Josiah was one of the good kings. So things weren't so bad. But in the middle of this comes this news about this day of the Lord coming. So it says in verse 2, "I will sweep away everything from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. I will sweep away both men and animals. I will sweep away the birds of the air, the fish of the sea. The wicked will have only heaps of rubble, and I will cut off man from the face of the earth, declares the Lord." Very heavy stuff. And we know that that has not happened since the time that it was written. There's been trouble in different parts of the world, but never has it been so exhaustive as what Zephaniah prophesies here. And remember, this has been prophesied 2,700 years ago. It's a long time ago. And yet it has not happened. And so as we go on here, verse 14 that we read again, "The great day of the Lord is near, near and coming quickly. Listen, the cry on the day of the Lord will be bitter." And then it gives all these things that's going to happen. And in verse 18, "Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to save them on the day of the Lord's wrath. In the fire of his jealousy, the whole world will be consumed, for he will make a sudden end to all who live on the earth." Now, if you were to walk the streets of Runhurren Hill today, how many people at any inclination, any understanding of this day that's up ahead? Okay, there's fear in the world about our climate change and this and that, and even just this past week with the D-Day anniversary and wanting not to have such war again. But there's a day coming, it's going to be even worse than the Second World War, because God's judgment is coming on the earth. And why do we need to repent? Well, because of this wrath that is coming. Today we maybe tell people God loves you, He wants to have a relationship with you. But first and foremost, the problem is our relationship with God is wrong. And we need to repent. Otherwise, this day of wrath is going to consume. Now, reading this passage, it would seem as if there's almost no life is left. But we've got to read all the passages on the day of the Lord to understand that that is not the case. Because it seems in verse 3 of chapter 2, there's a possibility of still salvation. Seek the Lord, all you humble of the land, you who do what he commands. Seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you will be sheltered on the day of the Lord's anger. And it, with all these other passages that refer to the day of the Lord, regarding the Jewish nation, it seems as if it's a great day of judgment for them, in order that God will purify that nation, remove all the arrogant and those who are proud, but redeem those who turn to him in humility. And the day of the Lord seems to then usher in a great age for the people of Israel. But also it brings judgment on all the nations that have fought against them. And somewhere in the middle of all of that is the church also. When that day of the wrath has come, we are delivered up out of that day of wrath. So it affects us all in different ways. So if we just now go to what Paul says about this day, and we go to 1 Thessalonians first, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And Paul is writing to the believers in the city of Thessalonica in Greece. And at the end of chapter 1, breaking into verse 9, halfway through, they tell us how you have turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. That is why we need to repent, because in repenting we will be delivered from the coming wrath. Salvation isn't just, having a relationship with God. It is actually deliverance from judgment, first and foremost. When you go through the book of Acts, they preach repentance. When you listen to what Jesus preached when he came into this world, he preached repentance. Repentance, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We have an issue with God, we're wrong before him. We need to be delivered from his judgment. And the only way of that judgment being delivered is through Jesus. As it says in Romans, he who knew no sin became sin for me, in order that I might have his righteousness. What a transfer. That he takes my sin and he gives me his righteousness. But if I refuse his righteousness, God's wrath remains in me. If we then go on to chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive on our left will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. So when Jesus comes back to deliver the wrath of God, we do not receive that wrath, but we are caught up out of that inferno and delivered. This is why our salvation is so wonderful. I hope we appreciate our salvation. And then if we go into chapter 5, he talks about this day being like a thief. It says in chapter 5, Verse 1, my brothers, about times and dates we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. So for the vast majority of people, it will be totally unexpected. You don't expect the thief. He comes suddenly, unexpectedly. And that's how the day of the Lord is going to come, according to Paul here. Regarding those who do not believe. But regarding those of us who do believe, he says in verse 4, but you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You're all sons of light and sons of day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, etc., etc., etc. So you see again, there's these two camps. Those who will be totally surprised, not expecting anything, because they do not understand the day of judgment coming. But those who believe, it should not be a day of surprise. We should see the signs of its coming and not be surprised. And even now as we look around our world, we see signs. You know, Jesus just didn't say pray. He said watch and pray. Watch what's going on so you'll know the times in which we live and be ready for his coming. And this is all part of, as we see these signs, we get more excited about the coming of Jesus. And we're able to tell people around us, hey, Jesus is coming, but judgment is coming. Be ready, get prepared for his coming. If we go on now to 2 Thessalonians, when is this day going to come? And we're given some indication here. Chapter 2, verse 1. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us saying that the day of the Lord has already come. So already back in Paul's day, people were saying the day of the Lord has already come. But Paul says, no, that day cannot come. It says, verse 3, don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. Another name for this would be the Antichrist. So Paul is saying that day will not come until the Antichrist first appears on the earth. It also says there's going to be a great rebellion before that day comes. There's going to be a great rebellion on the earth. Remember what Jesus said about the days of Noah? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. We see in the days of Noah a real rebellion against God, refusing to accept salvation. And so it will be also in these days when Jesus comes back. So this man of lawlessness must first be to be revealed before Jesus comes back, before the day of the Lord. But when he appears, we will know the day of the Lord is getting pretty close. And so as we watch our world today and we see all this movement of political groups and world powers, many things are starting to fit into place according to the prophets. Many things. But there's still quite a lot of things to be fulfilled yet. But that is why we need to familiarize ourselves with what the prophets are saying and what the apostles have told us, so we can identify that day. And in understanding all of this, that we will value our salvation more and more. To understand what we have been delivered from. When we understand what we are being delivered from, it makes me appreciate my salvation so much more. Why me? Why have I received salvation? Why has God given me deliverance from this wrath that is to come? And that is part of the good news. You know, we talk about the Holy Spirit coming. What was the purpose of the Holy Spirit coming into this world? What did Jesus say in John? He shall convict the world of sin, of judgment, and of righteousness. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. Because there's going to be judgment, we need righteousness to be delivered from that. And there's only one source of that righteousness, it's Jesus Christ himself. That's why we flee to him. We all know John 3:16, I think. But how many know John 3:36? It says in John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. And if that wrath remains on him, when the day of the Lord comes, they will experience that judgment of God. So, we have a great salvation, but also we know that this world is heading for a great day of confrontation with the living God. And we need to not be ashamed of telling people about this, because they need to know danger is on the way, and there's only one way out. Unlike Noah, building that ark of salvation, we can offer the same salvation to them. And they have to choose whether they're going to remain and be burnt up, or whether they're going to take that great offer of salvation. And it's open to every person, man, woman and child. So that is the day of the Lord. Just a little tiny bit about the day of the Lord. But it's the next big judgment coming on this earth. And God is going to reveal himself in a way that most of us do not understand. There was a day in the past when Jesus stood up in the temple one day and he read from the scroll of Isaiah. He read some beautiful words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the good news. And to bind up, you know, the wounded, and to set the prisoner free. He rolled it up and he sat down and he started to speak about it. But if you picked up that scroll and read the next line, do you know what it says? And the day of vengeance of our God. That is the day coming. And that day has been separated by at least 2,000 years already. But it's the same verse. Just a break. So that's where we're heading. But we now live in the age of grace. There's still time. But a day will come when that day will finish. And the day of vengeance will come. So praise God, you have been delivered from it. And if you do not know the Lord Jesus, it is still open to you to receive that offer of salvation. So the day of the Lord. Just a few verses from the end of Hebrews chapter 10 as we finish. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching, the day of the Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for the gospel. We thank you so much for your word that tells us not just of the past, but of the future. Thank you that it tells us of this great day coming that we can be delivered from. And thank you that it tells us what happens beyond that day, the new heaven and the new earth, the home of righteousness. But Lord, we do pray that as we consider your word, and we consider our friends and neighbors, that we will not be ashamed to warn them of this awesome day that is coming. And there's only one way out, and that is through Jesus. So we praise you for your gospel. We thank you for your deliverance. We thank you for our salvation. We are so unworthy, but thank you that you have given us your righteousness and set us free from ourselves. We praise you, Father. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.